WJFK.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let me just push a button over here. You can jam to this groovy song. All right, welcome back to Joe Radio, 106.7 WJFK.
Joe Radio!
Joe Radio 106.7 at AOL.com. My guest tonight is Joe H. Slade, a professor of psychology and author of, as far as I could tell, about 16 books. But he wrote a book called Psychic Vampires, Protection from Energy Predators and Parasites. Joe, how are you?
I'm great. How are you tonight?
I'm just fine. Now, I want to find my questions for you, but while I do, why don't you give us some background? Like I said, you've written a lot of books, so give us some background about who you are, and then we'll talk a little bit about psychic vampires.
All right. Very glad to do that. I am, as you said, a professor of psychology. I am a psychologist also in private practice. And I became interested in psychic vampires because, well, for several reasons. We were very fortunate to be able to get a government contract to study this phenomenon. And my approach in throughout has been that of scientific objectivity, but at the same time relating it to everyday life. And it's only one of my several interests, but it certainly has been among the more prominent ones.
Well, let's see. How prevalent are these personalities as far as, you know, how many of these people are walking around? And are they actually, do you think they're deliberately being, or do you think that some people are psychic vampires and don't even know it?
Psychic vampires exist in many different forms, and I'm always very reluctant to categorize them and say, well, here's a vampire and here isn't. The vampire characteristic may exist to some extent in everyone. We all engage in social interactions. There are some social interactions in which we mutually exchange energy. And the psychic vampire actually is someone who draws energy from another person. So, you know, to some degree, it is a very common phenomenon. However, it can be exaggerated to the degree that the vampire is dependent on the victim.
Well, that's what I let me interject. Yeah. It's got positive and negative influences.
Absolutely.
Okay, so go on.
And I was going to add too that it exists in many different forms. As an energy phenomenon, we see it in what we call one-on-one. Situations where you have the vampire interacting with the victim and drawing life force energy from that victim. Typically, the vampire has a weak energy system. The victim has a more abundant supply of energy, and so the vampire draws energy from people around him in order to increase his own energy supply. But I want to hasten to add, it can exist in other different forms. It can exist in groups. You have group vampirism. These are maybe groups that are dominated by hatred or prejudice or that sort of thing. It can exist even on a national scale. A good example of that is ethnic cleansing,
right,
in which one cultural group vampires another and tries to actually destroy an ethnic group.
But what would be the benefit as far as, let's say, like the KKK? Obviously, they would be categorized as a vampire group, right?
Well, any group.
But what I'm saying is, what would be to their benefit? Do they actually enjoy doing it?
It's an energizing force.
I see.
These organizations cannot exist on their own energy. They have to tap into energies external to themselves.
That's a great point.
Yes, and that's where vampirism enters the picture. But I wanted also to add, we see it not only in those kinds of organized groups. We often see it in informal groups, and it exists all around us.
I like where we're going with this, because I just thought of something else. How about people that are in, quote, self-help type groups? Let's take Alcoholics Anonymous. I know people that have joined these groups. I know people that have joined, like, life coaching groups.
Right.
And it almost seems to have a negative effect on them. And I'm wondering if these are just a bunch of people that are weak, and so they're trying to pull other weak people in order to make themselves feel better about themselves.
Well, I think there's a delicate balance there. I think a part of our basic needs is to help other people, and another part of our basic needs may be to be helped by other people. In psychology, we call it nurturance and succorance.
Mm-hmm.
You have people who really need to nurture other people. It's a part of their basic need. And in doing so, they are probably energizing the persons they're helping.
Are psychic vampires, this is just out of the blue, sort of, but are they, would more of them be type A personalities or type B type personalities?
I don't think you could categorize them as either. As I said, it's such a widespread phenomenon.
So that's irrelevant.
Right.
Okay.
It really is. And I wanted to also add another form of vampirism we haven't even touched on. And that's
fine. Go ahead. We got plenty of time. And I want everybody to know about this. Let me just interject again. That when I brought this up to my program director, I said, "You ever heard of a psychic vampire?" And he's like, "No, never heard of it." And I said, "I said there's not a whole lot on the internet about it." And I said, "I think I'm going to go that direction with the show because I run into people all the time that, oh, my boss is dragging me down, you know." And that's where I started to see that some people need to, and people see it as, "Oh, you're just bringing me down to make yourself feel good," but there's really kind of a real innate psychology behind this.
Absolutely. And I think what's important is to recognize this when it does occur. And if you happen to be the person who seems to be inducing fatigue or drawing energy from people around you, there are ways that you can counteract that. And my book.
Oh, well, then my wife will be more than happy to read that.
Well, they are very workable strategies so that you can reinforce your own energy system so you don't have to tap into the energies of persons you interact with.
Gotcha.
We've all had these encounters. I'm sure you've had the experience of
certainly
being bored and interacting with someone else, and even fatigued, and sometimes you may even become drowsy, and you leave that situation totally exhausted. You've been the victim, probably, of a psychic vampire interaction. Now, the vampire in that case may not have known that he or she was engaging in vampirism.
Right.
You may not have known at the time that you were losing your energy, but it became more and more evident as you remained in that situation. In my work, I do a lot of couples counseling,
uh-huh.
and I find quite often this condition exists among couples, particularly in, you know, the non-functional setting, you have one couple drawing energy from the other, and it can really be detrimental to a relationship.
Well, looking back in history, or, well, not history so much, but culturally and socially, wouldn't this just be yin and yang?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you could say that. I did that very thing in writing my book. I went all the way back as far as I could go, even to the biblical story of creation, where the God force breathed into Adam the breath of life. That was the giving of energy. And then
right.
later on, Delilah and Samson. Delilah turned out to be a psychic vampire. She vampirized Samson by cutting his hair off. Yeah.
Now, don't you? I'm so. God, we are tracking tonight.
Yeah, well,
let me run something past you, because
right.
this is something when I was researching this, and I was actually when you put in vampire, obviously in the internet, you're going to get all kinds of stuff. But what I realized, would you think of these old tales, Dracula, Nosferatu, Frankenstein, Wolfman, the Mummy, wouldn't you? I started to see a correlation where the vampire was taking the energy, Dracula was taking the energy.
Right.
Frankenstein was more of like a modern, well, what we would call cloning now. The Wolfman
right.
may signify infectious diseases, and the Mummy would almost be like a reminder of karma. In other words, something coming back to haunt you.
Exactly. You almost have like archetypes there. It's a cultural phenomenon. And this whole topic has seemed to touch a cultural nerve throughout history, all the way back from the very beginning, and continues to do so today.
Right.
So it's as I said from the start, it's such a prevalent phenomenon, and we're all influenced by it.
Now, I want to, you say you got a government grant to research this. How did you research it? Did you?
Well, it was very interesting the way that came about. Okay. I was a professor of psychology and head of the psychology program, and we need an experimental lab. So I thought of a project in which we could do that. So I contacted the Army, did a proposal for the U.S. Army Missile Research and Development Command to study the external human energy system. Now, I wasn't interested in studying the biology of it, but to look at the external energy system, and we'd already done some research using a certain monitoring technology, which was incidentally developed in the Soviet Union. Hmm. And this was back in the 70s when the government was very much interested in this sort of thing.
Was these like things, sensors you put on the head or on the
No, actually, skull? It was through a strategy we call electrophotography, sometimes referred to as aura photography or Kirlian photography.
Right.
And we were very fortunate in that the government was quite interested in this. Their interest was to develop some kind of a monitoring strategy so that they could monitor the external energies of a soldier, and they wanted us to relate those energies to things like stability, reliability, and that sort of thing. We were incidentally able to do that, but at the same time, I began to notice in that research where we worked with couples, there seemed to be during the monitoring process an exchange of this energy.
And so would one subject's aura grow and the other ones would shrink?
And I have photographs of that in my book where the victim's aura would be energized. It would take on expansiveness, whereas the vampire, the victim's aura or his energy, surrounding energy, would be depleted, and we could see it as it occurred.
And how many different types? You mentioned soldier. Did you test like mailmen or criminals or police?
Our subjects were for the most part volunteer students.
Oh, I was.
Yes, we didn't get into a soldier population. We just used random sampling of or volunteer college students for our research. I was going to mention rapidly.
Go ahead.
If you have a moment.
Sure.
another form of vampirism that is even more prevalent, and that's the parasitic form. Parasitic vampirism was actually identified back in the mid-1900s as a psychiatric diagnostic category. And it was based on the idea that we have psychiatric or psychological conditions that actually deplete our energies and can even cause illnesses and that sort of thing. And examples are phobias that tend to feed on our energies, or obsessive compulsive conditions. These are internal conditions that take their toll. Mentally and physically.
Well,
we researched that form of vampirism also.
Yeah, I just want to relate. I just heard on the radio the other day that I think people that laugh and smile more heal quicker than people that are less inclined, and that would probably have to do with your energy field.
Well, sure. And Joe, we are energy beings. When you really get down to it, that's what we are. Without energy, could we exist?
And think about. Here's another thing I was thinking about as you were explaining this. The parasitic type vampire is almost like the tag-along friend you had when you were a kid, where you just wanted to go do something, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to go with you. Say you just wanted to skateboard down a hill on your own. The guy says, yeah, I want to do it too. All of a sudden, you don't want to do that anymore, and that's
exactly.
Negative energy.
Exactly.
So am I tracking with you?
Yeah, absolutely. That certainly relates to our topic, without doubt.
Do you think that criminals are more prone to psychic vampires as being vampires?
Among the organizational vampirism I discuss in my book are the crime organizations.
Ah.
Yes, they would fit the category of...
parasitic.
I hate to categorize all of them, but I would say criminal behavior is yet another form of psychic vampirism. They vampirize their victim, and they can do it in all kinds of different ways.
Sure.
And so, yes, I would certainly include criminal behavior as
empire
patterns.
How about politicians in general? The person that wants to go into politics, you know, you've been around. I've been around politicians, and you see them work a crowd, and you think to yourself, boy, I would love to run this section of government, but I don't know if I could walk into a room of people and remember every name, shake every hand with a smile, have a witty joke at the ready. And they seem to do it so naturally.
I would hesitate to call it vampirism. I think there could be an element of vampirism in that in which you use your audience for your own advantage. That could certainly get into some kind of energy interaction in which you have the controller and the victim. And so politics could certainly get into that. Vampirism can exist, as I said before, in large group settings, even in government settings. In fact, it could exist almost everywhere. Industrial organizations.
Well, how about
a recent example of industrial vampirism is Enron Corporation, if I could just specifically
mention.
Yeah,
go ahead.
They vampirized their employees.
An entity that was a corporation. I'm speechless.
Oh, absolutely.
Don't get me started on Enron.
Well, I'm just using that as an example because most of us can relate to that. But Enron is not alone in corporate vampirism. We see it all the time in the use of organizations' use of deceit and exploitation.
It's almost corporate vampirism is almost a term that I swear I've heard before.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I can't place where, but as you said it, I was like, where have I heard that before?
And another, in our studies, I began to look at the tobacco, big tobacco. We saw early on there denial of addiction and all that sort of thing. Excellent example, or a very sad example, of psychic vampirism at work in a vast industrial situation.
Yeah, I see.
Anywhere you see deception, it doesn't have to be just a specific energy exchange, but where you have deception, the use of deception in order to exploit other people, and in this case, damage their health, what more dangerous form of psychic vampire than that? Vampirism than that.
So, okay, but man, I am tracking with you tonight. This is I am so glad I got a hold of you, and I'll explain that later. But is all psychic vampire... is it all negative? Because think about how football teams, and you're down there in Alabama, so I know you got to know about football down there.
Yeah.
But the teams refer to the crowd as the 12th man.
Yes.
Wouldn't that be kind of, is the team drawing the energy from the crowd? Or
well, yeah, that could be. And I wanted to...
The home field advantage is another way to look at it.
It could be. The energy exchange can be positive, and it can energize both. In the case you gave, it can energize the team as well as the audience.
Right.
So an energy exchange doesn't necessarily mean that there's going to be a depletion of energy. It could actually result in an increase of energy. We see that in inspirational types of settings where there's a giving and receiving during a very intense interaction, and everyone emerges energized. Certainly that does occur, and we would not label that vampirism, though it does get into an energy phenomenon.
Yeah, it gets into the yin and the yang again, really.
Absolutely, it does.
And likewise, let's say I can think of a personal situation. Say my wife has some new friends. We're going to go over to their house for dinner. And I've not met these people, and I've not been to their house. Wouldn't that put my aura in a defensive mode and open my – would I be open to psychic vampirism? Or
it could. It could. If you enter that situation uncertain of the nature of the interaction that's going to unfold there, or with some reservation, it could put you in a defensive mode where you might have difficulty maybe in the energy interaction that follows. Yeah, that certainly is conceivable. It would not necessarily do that, but it could.
Right. And now, what would be the best way to... I don't know. You know, I work for a radio station, and radio, a lot of people think it's a very... Well, it is an easy job. I like to say that I strive to do as little as possible, and I do a pretty good job of it. However, on the business end of it, when we're not behind the microphone, We have so much to deal with, and it almost feels like, you know, like the vice president of the corporation or all these some these suits that you don't even see, you just hear their names coming down from New York and you know you better toe the line. It almost feels like they are just making it impossible for you to do your job. How can I avoid falling into first thinking that, and or if they were deliberately vampiring me, how would I keep my guard up against it?
I think you're right.
And I know there's a lot of people in a lot of different industries, you know, especially here in D.C., where the capital of the world concerning lawyers and everything.
Right.
So I know that somebody's listening to me saying, you know, I've got the same situation. So how would somebody keep their guard up and still keep a happy face on the job?
Well, I think if you I don't know an easy answer here to this. That's an excellent question, and I'm not sure there's an easy answer to it. But I think what you're talking about has to do with the way you perceive that situation. And if you work on your perception, you will feel more comfortable in the interaction, and maybe with a better understanding of how that particular category of persons fits into the total picture here.
So there you go.
You are part of that.
Do you have like a simple checklist that you can give me and my listeners that once they feel like they're getting the life sucked out of them, they know by just checking off these symptoms or behavior of the person standing across the room from them?
My book does get into that, and I do list what I call signals of a vampire attack, and it does include it does include the sense of being if not victimized, just a sense of discomfort in the interaction. Now that alone does not necessarily signal vampirism.
Okay.
But if you feel that your space is being invaded, for example, a concept we call social distance, and you feel you need to back away from the situation, a very good signal that there's a vampire interaction or a threat of a vampire interaction. If you sense there is a dishonesty of some kind in the interaction or that you are being exploited in some way, there's something that's not genuine about the situation, that is a signal that there's a vampire element possibly there. But again, it's important to keep in mind that this is that we are energy beings, and we're talking here about an energy interaction, but our mental functions affect that interaction, the way we think, the way we perceive the situation, and it's possible that we could be mistaken too, you know. Much of psychic vampirism on the one-on-one level there that we're talking about is at the subconscious level.
Right.
We don't even know it's occurring. It's only afterward that we realize that we've been victimized.
Yeah.
There are very simple ways of correcting this if you sense it's unfolding, and I give the technique in my book. It's the very best technique that I've ever My book gives several, but this one is the best. It's called the finger interlock technique.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a combination of physical and psychological factors. But if I could just run through it right quickly.
You can instantly
terminate a vampire interaction. And we monitored this technique, again, using electrophotography technology. It's very simple. You just take your thumb and middle finger of each hand and join them to make two circles. In fact, if your hands are free, you can do it as we speak.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm doing it right now.
Make two circles with your thumb and middle finger.
Mm-hmm.
Then bring your hands together to form interlocking circles. Relax your hands and affirm, "I am fully energized and empowered." It's that simple. Relax your hands and continue to hold the interlock strategy, the interlock gesture for a few seconds.
Uh-huh.
Then after a few seconds, join your hands in a hand clasp and again reaffirm, "I am energized, protected, and secure." Now, our studies show that when you do this, there is an energy shield that envelops the physical body. Now, we can't explain it. We just know it happens.
It reminds me of the biblical exercise of claiming dominion.
Yeah, exactly. It's a ritual, almost like a ritual, but it includes a mental element, and you have to practice it maybe a few times for it to really work. I recently, during the New Orleans tragedy, a news reporter there was giving a report in a very threatening situation. I just happened to be watching that on TV, and she was actually under attack, and she did that gesture.
Wow!
Right on the air,
and I thought, recognized.
Must have read the book. She made the gesture and took full and complete command of the situation.
And that book is Psychic Vampires: Protection from Energy Predators and Parasites. Now, Joe, right. I've got to wrap up, but like I said, you've written many books, and I noticed in your biography that you've got some that are fairly recent, so I'm going to give you a minute. Tell everybody what you're about, and go ahead and plug away.
I'll just be happy to.
All right.
My latest book. Can I do that now?
Yeah, absolutely.
My latest book will be out later this year. It's The Spiritual Side of Nature. It's a book that deals with how to empower yourself by interacting with your natural environment. I have a recent book out on Beyond Reincarnation. It looks at our past lives and relates past life experiences to present life dilemmas and gets into how to use your past life insight to empower yourself in the present lifetime. I've done a book on health and fitness. It's available on, all these books are available in bookstores.
I think you're on Amazon.com as well.
Amazon.
So you can put Joe H. Slade into Amazon.com and you will see your whole library.
And I have the greatest publisher in the world, I might add, Llewellyn Worldwide.
Yeah, I found that site.
And my books are available in other languages. Psychic Vampires has been rather popular in Russia, believe it or not.
Well.
Of course, we use Russian technology in researching this phenomenon. And so there are several books there, and I would just be happy for our listeners to look at them and check them out.
Well, great. And in closing, I want to tell everybody and you how I tracked you down. I called the University of Alabama or Athens. Are you in?
Yes. Athens State University.
Yeah, and are you in? You're in Georgia or Alabama?
No, I'm in Alabama.
Okay,
this is the northern part of Alabama.
I called them, and the lady was very kind, but she said, "Oh, I've just found out that he retired." So I said, "Oh, okay."
Yes.
So then I did a Zaba search on you and found your name in Alabama, but no phone number. But there weren't too many Slates down there.
That's right.
And so,
and they're all related.
Yeah, so I took a chance and I called this nice lady, this nice woman Slate, a little older, and I said, "I'm trying to find Joe Slate. I don't suppose you're his wife." And she says, "No, but he's a cousin or something." And I said, "Well," I explained who I was, and she was like, "Oh," and she looked you up in the local phone book, and then she said, "But he works at an antique store." And I said, "Do you know the name of it?" And she gave me what was the name of the antique store?
Holidays Antique.
Yeah,
that's my wife's store. Yeah.
Yeah, Holidays. And I said, "Oh," I said, "well, if you can't find it, let me Google it real quick." And then I found that, and that's when I talked to you.
You did excellent detective work, Joe. You're to be commended.
Well, Joe, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been a great pleasure.
I'd certainly like to keep you in my Rolodex for the future when some of this stuff comes up.
I would appreciate that very much.
Well, thanks again, and we'll talk to you soon.
My pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, Mr. Joe H. Slate. And I'll go ahead and plug it again. Psychic Vampires, Protection from Energy Predators and Parasites, 800-636-1067. If you want to call about this subject. Now, listen, this guy, you know, this ain't kooky stuff. You know as well as I do that people, they will just wear you out, man. They will just wear you out. So, Joe Radio, my fellow Joe
Radio!
My fellow Joe Americans, give me a call, 800-636-1067, and don't forget to check out my MySpace. I've got a YouTube video of the week on there, and we'll talk about that and some other stuff when we come back to Joe Radio on 106.7 WJFK.
Radio Joe.